You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello one and all, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill ahead of the Premier League weekend. Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin, David McGovern, all with you to preview 10 matches live on this podcast. And first of all, a warm welcome to Tom Kerwin on this Friday morning. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good, I'm very good. I'm looking forward to this weekend. A weekend in which I think Chelsea's lead is going to be sliced in half.
Ooh, that's a precursor of things to come. Derek, you will be obviously agreeing with Tom.
Find out it's actually Tom finally being agreeing with me about where Tottenham.
No, I don't like the league, Chelsea. Don't worry about that.
I don't like it when people start agreeing with me. It makes me feel like I'm wrong.
It's disconcerting, I must admit. Even in the studio, I'm finding it disconcerting at the moment, Derek.
Yeah, we've got about 3 weeks left, haven't we, to try and get a win and treble up. Not long enough, I would think.
Yeah, we're odds against. That is for absolute certain. Let's get stuck into the weekend then. We'll start with Crystal Palace versus Burnley, which is Saturday 5:30. And Palace are 5-6 to win the game. The draw 21-10 with Burnley 4-1. The enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win, was 7-4, now 2-1. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 13-2, now 8-1. 2 points separate these two sides, but Palace definitely finishing the season strongly despite that loss against Spurs midweek. Burnley still only picked up 4 points away from home this season. They lost 2-0 at home against Manchester United last week and 3-1 away at Goodison the week before. They are probably safe, Derek, but Hull and Swansea are edging a little bit closer to Burnley.
Yeah, but they are, but they're too far clear now, Burnley. I can't even think that they'll be in trouble. The teams below them are so poor that I just can't see them bridging the gap. I'm convinced of two things in this game. The two teams will start off level and the two teams will finish up level. I've never known anything more likely to finish in a draw. I've been looking at the league table and a draw for Palace pretty much seals survival for them. They ain't going to go down if they get a point here. And for Burnley, a point will be a massive step closer to safety and also a point more than they normally get on their travels. And when a draw suits both sides, a draw is what you usually get. And I'm convinced this will be a stalemate. 21-10, I think you said the draw. I think it's absolutely nailed on. Palace are odds on, right. And I suppose when you look at 6 wins in their last 9 away to playing, you think, yeah, they look a fair price against a team who keep losing away from home. But they played in midweek, remember. Tough game in midweek. Burnley didn't play at all. And that's always a big factor when you're struggling to make a case like I am. So I'm going to go for the draw here. Burnley kept a couple of clean sheets on the road recently. They're better. We've said this before. They're a better side on the road than their results imply. Because, you know, there's been a few games where I think Burnley have been unlucky to come away with nothing there. And I think they'll come away with something here. 1 point.
Okay, the draw for Derek, 21-10. Sam Allardyce talked after the win at Anfield about how focused he was on this game and that they were going to rest players for the Spurs match, Crystal Palace. But that, to a certain extent, Tom, was smoke and mirrors because still played a pretty strong team in midweek despite going down by 2-0 in the end. And there's a strong chance here as well. Burnley could go through the season without winning away from home, but still survive.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think Burnley's players have probably already sort of banked and spent their survival bonus because they're in a group of teams that then you know they're not in any serious trouble. But you know, there has been a slide, but the performances haven't been that bad. I agree with Derek there. I remember watching Burnley at Liverpool a few weeks back, and you know, I thought they were unlucky, not to get something from that game. And when I do watch Burnley, and they're not on TV very often, actually. When you do watch them, you think, you know, this is a decent side. Obviously well organised, clearly capable of getting a result somewhere like Crystal Palace. And Palace's players, you know, when I got it wrong about their running. You know, it's tough, and it still remains pretty tough. But, you know, what Sam Allardyce has managed to do is actually get his players lifted for the big games. And when you look down that Palace squad, there are players in it that you think, well, I'm not surprised that when it comes to, you know, Arsenal, when it comes even to the Spurs game, I don't think they play that badly. They kind of raise the game a little bit to get the performance levels up. It's maybe a game like this that maybe you'd be a little bit concerned if you're a Palace backer. I mean, you know, Palace at home recently, you know, some of their recent home victories, I'm going back since February, but sort of in the last five home matches, you know, they've won three of those games, comfortably beat Arsenal, of course, when Arsenal were probably at their lowest ebb this season. But the Watford and Middlesbrough victories are probably telling for me. Admittedly, early on in Sam Allardyce's reign, but only narrow victories. I've got to go for Palace here because, you know, while I think they're safe as well now, clearly, with the run that they've been on, I think at home, and I think the kind of, the high-press game that Sam Allardyce has made their players, you know, play. They play with a lot of energy in the other team's third when they don't have the ball. And I don't think Burnley have the kind of players you can deal with. What Burnley want is they want you to sit off a little bit and, you know, they kind of get themselves into a game. It's difficult to work out Burnley's identity at times, but I don't think they're going to like the way that Palace will get about them. If Palace are, you know, play anywhere near the level they have been of late, they should get the victory here. And I don't think you can look too far past the headline of the enhanced odds there of Benteke to score and Palace to win at 2-1. He has looked like a different player. Whatever you say about Sam Allardyce, he clearly gets a tune out of players who have just not been performing. He gets into them. Whether it's only a short-term thing, whether he can sustain it over a longer period of time, I don't know. But when the players are in form as they are right now, I've got to be backing them, and I can't touch anything on Burnley because of their away form. So I think if Palace win, it might be slender, but I think Benteke will be on the score sheet.
Enhanced odds, Benteke to score and Palace to win was 7-4. That's been enhanced to 2-1. We're straight into Sunday's televised games, and Manchester United take on Swansea at Old Trafford. It's 2-5 for Manchester United to win the match. The draw 7-2 with Swansea 7-1. Enhanced odds, Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win was 21-20, now 5-4. And Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 12-1. That's been enhanced to 16-1. Manchester United drawing 0-0 at the Etihad on Thursday night in what was a dire televised game. Home form's been strong generally, Manchester United. We all know they've drawn too many games at Old Trafford this season. That's been well documented. But you've got to go back to September for the last time they lost at home, and that loss incidentally came against Manchester City. And they have, Tom, played a hell of a lot of football this season with both Cups and the Europa League, and they've had those injuries as well recently with Chris Smalling and Phil Jones, long-term absentees. Marcus Rojo's joined them on the sidelines now. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Paul Pogba's out as well. He might return for this game, but they've had problems from a personnel perspective as well, Tom.
Well, they have, but the violin's not out for me, Dave, for that. I mean, you know, the money they've spent, the squad that they have. I probably think two of those five players you mentioned are kind of losses to them recently. Yeah, I'll let you guys figure out which two I'm on about. But, you know, Manchester United at home, this straight away when I look at this fixture is right in the bracket of all the games they've had this season at home, which I will put down as a draw. You know, Manchester United have, you know, and a friend of mine who is a Manchester United supporter said, well, you know, I don't know, what are they, 326 games unbeaten or something, which they seem very proud about. But they've not budged anywhere in the table. They're almost at exactly the same position. And, you know, we talked time and time again about their focus on the Europa League. But to be fair to them, the league results keep ticking by. And, you know, they while they're not playing brilliantly, Manchester United, I thought the victory at Burnley was telling it in one or two ways. But the thing I mainly took from it is they just never let Burnley get anywhere near them. And it was kind of an imperious performance for them. Not great, but just in control of the game from start to finish. And that's what we've always seen about Manchester United. So while I'm not suggesting for a second they are back to their very best or where that club has been in the last sort of 20 years, they do have I suppose they don't have a soft centre as maybe they have done in previous years under Louis van Gaal and David Moyes. But Swansea, you know, last week, you know, they get their result and they're probably coming off the pitch thinking yes. And then obviously Hull had got their result and it's kind of as you were. Swansea will probably cling to the fact that games that they've had at Old Trafford of late have been very close. In fact, games between these two sides have been extremely close. I mean, the biggest victory that Manchester United have had recently was the game earlier this season at the Liberty Stadium where they won 3-1. But we've had, what, 5-2-1s in the previous six games, and two of those were Swansea victories at Old Trafford. You know, Swansea need victories still. They know that Hull City this weekend as well, you know, have a tough game away from home. And I think Paul Clement will probably think a draw is good enough. And he will say to his players, look at the teams who've been to Old Trafford and managed to get draws. There is absolutely no reason why they can't. They are certainly less of a goal threat than they were. But conversely, people suggesting that obviously Ibrahimovic out means they're playing slightly differently, a little bit more pace, a lot more energy up top, which again could in turn cause different problems for Swansea. But Swansea got no problem in this stage. They did well at Anfield And I think they're capable of scoring a goal against Manchester United. So I'm going to play the draw here at 7-2. I've got to base that on Manchester United at home in these kind of games this season, and the fact that Swansea are scrapping, and a point would not be bad for them.
Swansea have actually won two of their last four at Old Trafford as well. And if you're looking for a goal scorer here, Gylfi Sigurdsson scored in his last two visits to Manchester United as well. He's 17-5 to score any time. Derek, what have you made to Jose Mourinho's comments on the back of all these injuries, saying, kind of insinuating publicly that his players are a little bit weak? Do you agree with all that or not?
Well, yeah, he said Smalling and Jones. He called them softies, didn't he? Yeah. You know, I mean, both of them reacted angrily and then broke down in tears. I mean, yeah. I mean, how ugly is Smalling? Jesus Christ! He looked in the mirror yesterday and his reflection ducked. That's how he's one pair of moves was them two. I tell you what, yeah, United. You're right what you say about them. They don't seem to lose, but they don't seem to do anything in the table. I think they really are plucked in sixth or seventh where they've been from pretty much of the season. And in these kinds, a lot of these kind of matches at the theatre of draws this season that they've been found wanting. What they've been wanting most, of course, is Howard Webber's rest. Then they turn all those chances into pens. I can't go for them at these kind of places because they've slipped up so many times at Old Trafford in these kind of games. Not only that, they've got Celta Vigo away on Thursday in the first leg of the Europa League semi-final. And then on top of that, next weekend, they've got Arsenal away as well. I mean, if you're an optimistic United fan, you're probably saying, well, we've got two chances of qualifying for the Champions League, you know, via the Europa League and via the league. But come on, Mourinho's no fool. I'm pretty sure he's putting all his eggs in the Europa League basket. It's far easier to win that than it is to finish in the top four, I would suggest, this season. I'd agree with Tom here. I think Swansea, you've got no fear factor now going to Old Trafford, unless you're a Man United fan. I mean, they've been there in recent seasons and done a job on United. And that's a United that we've plenty to play for. I'm not saying United have got nothing to play for now, but I just think their commitment is elsewhere. I'm going to go for Swansea plus a goal here. I think, well odds against. I think that's a very good bet.
Very good. Swansea plus one for Derek in the handicap market. That's available at 15-8. If you're looking at Swansea just to draw the game, as Tom mentioned, that's in the betting at 7-2. On to Everton versus Chelsea, Sunday 2:05. Everton are 14-5 to win the game. The draw is 12-5 with Chelsea even money. Enhanced odds, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 4-1. Now 9-2. If you fancy Diego Costa and Eden Hazard both to score, as they did against Southampton the other night, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Derek, it is a huge game for Chelsea. Given their run-in, if they pick up 3 points here, that's pretty much job done. The 4 points clear going into the weekend. Their remaining fixtures after this game, Middlesbrough, Watford and Sunderland at Stamford Bridge and away against West Brom. As far as run-ins go, it doesn't get any easier than that.
No. If you wanted to pick them yourself, that they'd be the ones you pick. I mean, and that's the thing, you see. That's why they don't have to win this. They don't have to win. I do, but they don't. Because, a point now, they've just got to avoid defeat in this fixture. And the title is as good as theirs. Because that run-in, you say, those three games at Stamford Bridge, you probably only need a couple of wins in those. And they'll get them easily enough. I mean, Everton at 14-5 at Goodison, where, you know, they're so strong, that will seem an incredible price. But only to those who didn't see them at West Ham last week when they were absolutely atrocious. They give every evidence there, Everton, that, you know, they were down in tools for the season. Whether the manager, Ronald Koeman, will get a reaction this weekend remains to be seen. But that was a worrying performance that by anybody who wants to be back in Everton between now and May 21st, wherever the season ends. I can't back Chelsea. I mean, they were impressive in midweek. They got the job done, didn't they, against Southampton. That was a difficult fixture, but he got the job done well. But I just don't see Conte. You know, he's an Italian. He's got an Italian's mentality. Why risk going for victory when a draw would probably give them the title? I think this is another nail on draw, this one.
At 12-5, the draw in the game. They did thump Everton at Stamford Bridge 5-0 earlier in the season. I'm sure that will feature heavily in Ronald Koeman's pre-match changing room, dressing room talk here, Tom. But you look through what Chelsea have done recently, they are maintaining that gap at the top. Even though Spurs did nibble into it slightly. They've still got that four-point gap, and they've actually conceded in 11 straight Premier League matches now, Chelsea. So they've not been as formidable defensively as you'd come to expect.
No, and I think that was something we kind of identified, didn't we, after the turn of the new year. It was a different kind of Chelsea. I mean, that run that they went on to get themselves, you know, so far in front, it has changed a little bit. They have looked vulnerable defensively. They've looked vulnerable from set pieces as well. And teams do know they've got a chance. What Chelsea do so well, though, is they can lull worse teams than Everton into kind of a false sense of security. I mean, even on in midweek, you know, against Southampton, Southampton had a lot of the ball. I thought Southampton played pretty well, but they ended up losing 4-2. You know, and I never felt Chelsea would have been too concerned about that. And I think that's the confidence you get, not only from being top of the league, but it's the confidence that kind of Conte gives them. They know it's not total football. There's no way this Chelsea team are going down as vintage title winners if they do get over the line. But they have had various stages to the season. At the moment, they're getting results, aren't they? And when they do have a hiccup, they bounce back almost at the first time of asking. It's a different Everton now from the one that went to Stamford Bridge. I mean, Everton away from home now, you know, are picking up points. And at home, obviously, a lot has been made of the run and the goals that they've been scoring. The only thing I would say is that this is by far and away the toughest game they've had at Goodison Park. You know, bar that 4-0 against Manchester City, in the Premier League, they've played Bournemouth, Sunderland, West Brom, Hull, Leicester and Burnley. You know, teams that are neither any good away from home or have felt the season is over. I'm not doing down Everton's, you know, achievements there, but this is a different kind of contest. And I think both managers would definitely accept a point. You know, Chelsea away from home, they've won 4 out of 5. I think there's a few goals in the game, though. And I'd definitely be playing a score draw here. So, you know, the draw on both teams to score at 16-5 looks decent. I can't back either side, really, to keep a clean sheet. But a point will do. And as I say, that will have an effect, I think, on the lead of the Premier League.
Got to mention Lukaku before we wrap as well here. He's scored in all 9 of Everton's home games this calendar year, but he's never scored against his former club, Chelsea. 6-4 he is to score any time. And there's rumour, Tom, that he might be making a return to Stamford Bridge in the summer as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that's levelled at Romelu Lukaku is, you know, he's a flat-track bully. He will do it against Bournemouth at home and Hull City and Middlesbrough, and he'll score goals for fun. But when it comes to these mammoth games, you know, does he turn up and does he play? When he does, there's no question he can give Chelsea the run around and cause them big problems, and maybe an audition for him, I don't know. But he's got to cross that line at some stage in his career. He's, you know, everyone talks about him. His goal record in the Premier League, you know, we've talked about him before, is just incredible. But he's got, you know, if he's going to step up to an elite club or a club that's competing Champions League and top of the Premier League, he's got to start doing it in these kind of games, because that's why there's a question mark over him. But he definitely, look, I mean, Costa's on his way, isn't it? It's clear. So he definitely looks one of the most likely candidates to kind of fill that position. And, yeah, wouldn't rule out him having a good game, or does he want to upset his future employers?
Spurs versus Arsenal next, North London derby. This is Sunday 4:30. Spurs are 17-20 to win the game, odds on. The draw 14-5 with Arsenal 16-5. Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win was 11-5. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 13-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. 4 of the last 5 league meetings between the two have ended all square. And both teams have scored in the last 6 as well in this fixture. An incredible stat here, Tom. Arsenal have actually scored in 22 of their last 23 trips to White Hart Lane. It's generally, borne out by the statistics, pretty entertaining fixture, this one, down the years, Tom.
Well, it is. It's probably one of the better derbies, but I think that's mainly because the two sides haven't really been competing at the same, you know, sort of place in the Premier League, really. They've not been up there towards the top, and roles have reversed. I mean, this has been predicted for a couple of years now, certainly after last season, about, you know, a power shift in North London. And this really, the last opportunity, I think, for Tottenham at White Hart Lane in particular, you know, to really kind of rub it in Arsenal's noses, because I think it's going to be different for them in the next few, you know, years when they're away from the stadium. And look, Tottenham are brilliant, and everything we've said about them consistently this season, they are in some respects a team that I enjoy watching a lot more than Chelsea. There's no question about that. The players that they've got, and the players are kind of stepping up. It's been a new Tottenham this year, and they actually have all the traits that Arsenal don't have at the moment. You know, they've got a younger, more vibrant team, but there's a cohesion there. Defensively, they're sound. And although Arsenal have shown signs of life, you know, Arsene Wenger's changed the system and everything else, I just don't back top Arsenal players at all in these games. I was always been cautious about them over previous years, but this year they've hit new lows, and this is the kind of game mentally I don't think they're going to be able to sort of cope with, because you know the Tottenham fans know how much they're going to need a victory here, you know, to put the pressure on Chelsea. And I think when Tottenham and Chelsea fans have been analysing the run-in, they felt that this was kind of a pivotal weekend to psychologically try and close that gap. And like I say, I think that's what they're going to do. I can't back Arsenal here at all. They may well score, they might not, but they are definitely going to concede. And Tottenham, I just think that they're flying too much now. And this might be the chance, because there's been a bit of talk. You know, players will be kind of picked off. You know, do Tottenham have the financial resources with money tied up in the stadium to keep hold of players so that, you know, should the kind of super bids come in? And there is a danger, really, that you know, maybe two or three of those players might get picked off. So this has got to be Tottenham's year to give it a push. So plain and simple, I'm keeping it very simple here. I'm just going to take Tottenham to win.
Tottenham 17-20 to win the game. If you are looking at those enhanced odds offers, Harry Kane has scored in four consecutive Premier League appearances against Arsenal. Kane to score, Tottenham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Derek, Tom talked about the power shift in North London, and you look through the starting 11 for both sides here, and I talked about it with some colleagues in the office the other day. How many of those Arsenal players would get in that Spurs starting 11? I think there's just maybe one.
Yeah, I'm surprised any of them get in the Arsenal starting 11. I mean, you look at what they've got up front. You've got Harry Kane for Arsenal, Danny Welbeck if he's playing for... Harry Kane for Tottenham, Danny Welbeck for Arsenal. I mean, Kane's so lethal now that I shout goal even before the ball reaches his feet. You should see the looks they get in the pub. And Welbeck, I mean, how long has he been at Arsenal now? How many goals has he scored? I can't remember him scoring. He was once tipped by Fergie to be the complete striker, and then Fergie said when he adds goals to his game. That's a bit like saying Jamie Oliver is a great chef but just needs to work on his cooking. I mean, the guy who's played up front for a million years, he's got about three goals to his name. And as for Mesut Ozil, one of those players you gladly pay money to watch, as long as what you're watching is him being duffed up. I mean, that guy, Jesus Christ, there has never been a more overrated player in English football since the days of David Beckham. The fact that you're saying now to Arsenal, can you trust Arsenal in this fixture? The Arsenal should be more up for this fixture than any fixture in the entire season, given it could stop Tottenham's gallop, you know, or Tottenham's pursuit of Chelsea. Basically, if Arsenal were to beat Tottenham, it would be the one shining moment of the season for their fans. And yet, you can't trust them to be up for it. That's how weak they are. That's the kind of squad they've got there now. I can see nothing other than a Tottenham win here. That performance against Palace in midweek, that was tremendous. That reminded me of the United in the Cantona days, you know, when they were hunting down Newcastle and they kept winning 1-0 with a goal in the 74th minute by Eric Cantona at the far post. It was championship-like, that performance. So I'm rooting for a Tottenham title victory this season, and I know for a fact that they'll beat Arsenal this weekend.
Tottenham, the selection for both Derek and for Tom, 17-20 Spurs to win the game. The draw 14-5 Arsenal in the betting at 16-5. We do have a Monday night game this week as well, and it's Liverpool travelling to Vicarage Road to take on Watford. 11-2 Watford, the draw 16-5 Liverpool in the market at 1-2. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 17-2, enhanced to 10-1. And Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 6-4. That's been enhanced to 7-4. I wouldn't usually say this, Derek, but it's a dangerous game for Liverpool, this one, because all six of their Premier League defeats this season have come against teams outside of the current top seven. And Watford, inconceivably, are 10th in the table. Jurgen Klopp's season, Derek, it started with such optimism. That's dissipated, hasn't it? As a Liverpool fan, what do you make of this campaign, Derek?
Well, it's as disappointing as most of the Liverpool campaigns have been in the last 10 years, because there was a time just before Christmas when they were looking like title winners, and then they had that dreadful January, it all fell away, and they've been better since then, but they've never really looked like, you know, putting in a title gallop. And it's the fact that you come to a game like this when they're playing Watford, who have given up the ghost, basically. I mean, I said last week, when you look back at the season before, when once Watford reached safety, they went on the holidays then. And, you know, last weekend that proved it. But you can't trust Liverpool in this fixture. because they've lost to these kind of teams so often. And they must be kicking themselves, Liverpool. Whenever you play against a decent team, you'd fancy them. But is it a fault of the manager that he can't raise his players to polish off teams like this? They're Watford a cannon fodder. There should be no doubt that a team that were title hopefuls a couple of months ago, should polish off Watford. And yet you can't trust Liverpool. Remember last season they went there and got battered 3-0, absolutely annihilated by Watford, for Christ's sake. How are Watford 10th? Somebody, I want scientists to explain this, because you two haven't. I've asked it a million times. No one's explained it. It's just ridiculous. You know what? Despite what I've said about it, I'm going to have to go for them, because how can I possibly make a case for the Hornets? Because they've packed up for the season. They have done. It's got to be Liverpool. But I will be watching with my eyes between my hands, because anything could go wrong for Liverpool. I just don't know. I can't put my finger on what it is wrong, apart from that crap defence.
The first bet I strike next season, Tom, will be this for this Watford side to go down. It will. That's my anti-post bet for next
year.
They are the
immovable object, Watford. I can't explain it either. I mean, the home form, Vicarage Road has been fairly good for them. I mean, I think the other thing for them is, you know, results kind of go under the radar, because they don't put in any kind of scintillating performance. If I was hearing a Watford fan on one of the football phone-ins, you know, playing hell about the style of football, she says, we don't mind, you know, we prefer to be entertaining and go down. Well, I never really buy that, but, you know, at home they say it's all been pretty lacklustre and pretty workmanlike. And, you know, they've made hard work of victories at home of late, but they've only suffered, you know, two home defeats this season. This calendar year, to Tottenham and Southampton, in which, you know, they shipped a lot of goals, but they've had quite an easy run, the likes of Sunderland, Swansea, Middlesbrough, Burnley, you know, West Ham. They're the kind of teams they've faced. And I kind of felt psychologically Liverpool had maybe turned a bit of a corner in their last away game at West Brom. I mean, we'll talk about West Brom in a bit, but, you know, I kind of felt that was a performance that looked like they had a little bit of steel about them. They were pretty much in control of it. They weren't that gung-ho. They kind of were a little bit more measured in what they were doing. And I watched that and thought, yeah, maybe the penny's dropped with Jurgen Klopp. It's dropped far too late for them to obviously mount the title charge. But I don't know. I think if Liverpool finish where they are, despite, you know, the problem they've had is, of course, the early season promise they had and people didn't, you know, were tipping them up. But I think if they can finish above the likes of Manchester City and Manchester United, considering their expenditure versus Liverpool, you know, I don't think that's too bad. The squad was always going to sort of catch up with them. And I feel exactly the same as Derek here. You cannot make a case for Watford at home. And Liverpool, you know, they don't inspire with massive amount of confidence at 1-2. So, you know, I'm going to play the goal scorer here, Coutinho, 13-10, because I look at some of the goals that Watford have scored, Watford have conceded. And I think the kind of space that they give up in that kind of area, I think he's the man who unlocks the door, you know, with the injuries that Liverpool have had this season. So he's the man. He's in a little bit of form as well. And 13-10 any time will be my play in this game.
He is good form. Philip Coutinho, 13-10 to score any time. Let's talk about the non-televised fixtures this weekend. And we'll start at St Mary's, Southampton versus Hull. And Southampton are 4-6 to win the game. The draw 13-5, Hull are 9-2. Enhanced odds, Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 6-4, enhanced to 7-4. And Umar Nias to score and Hull to win was 7-1. That's been enhanced to 9-1. There's no doubt, Tom, that Marco Silva's done an incredible job since taking over from Hull. But his career's been defined so far by getting his teams to perform at home. Now gone 41 matches as a manager at home unbeaten. That includes spells at Estoril, Sporting Lisbon and Olympiacos. The last time he lost a league home match was back in March 2014. And since he arrived at Hull, they've taken 20 points from 14 Premier League games. 19 of them have come at the KCOM.
It's amazing, really. And you look at his record and you think Olympiacos, you know, a club like that, you think their home form. I mean, you know, Olympiacos just never even, you know, dropped points at home. So you kind of think that's fair enough. But at Hull, at the KCOM Stadium, it is remarkable. And pound for pound, if he keeps them up, he's got to be in with a shot of manager of the season. He won't be anywhere near that kind of award, but you'd have to look at it as an achievement for what Hull City have gone through. You remember that pre-season photo that Curtis Davis took on pre-season training, and you know, there was like 8 senior players, and they basically, this is the official team photo. It was up in the mountains in Austria or whatever. And you kind of look at them, the players that they've sold, the injuries they've had. I keep going on about it. I find it absolutely miraculous. And it was like last week in a Hull at home, and you just think, well, no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt that they were going to beat Watford. Now, this game is a little bit trickier. Southampton, of course, have been incredibly inconsistent. I thought they played well against Chelsea. Had a lot of possession, still looked a threat. But I'm looking at Southampton's home results. And, you know, in all competition, you know, 5-0 defeat to Arsenal. West Ham went there and won 3-1. They drew with Bournemouth. They then beat Palace 3-1. And then they lost to Manchester City 3-0. Now, where do Hull fit in on that ranking? You know, especially given, you know, Hull City's kind of away results of late, which have been pretty shocking. They scored at Man City and Stoke, but ultimately lost, and they won with some daylight their opponents, you know, 3-1 scorelines in both of them. In fact, 3-1's been quite a common thread for Hull in three of the last four away matches. And Hull might feel, you know, I think Swansea have got more, in some ways, I think Swansea have got more chance of getting something this weekend than Hull because of Hull's, you know, dreadful away form. And it's a complete reverse for them. I cannot back them away from home to get a result, even though it is against an inconsistent Southampton side. A very inconsistent Southampton side at home. They've lost three of their last five. But, you know, do I want to be with Southampton at 4-6? I don't. So I'm going to have to look for something pro-Hull here, and I'm going to back them plus a goal at 6-5 because Southampton just do not do enough. Even though, like I say, they played well against Chelsea, they don't do enough to warrant my backing at home because of that inconsistent sort of home results. And Hull, it's do or die time for them. So they could get a draw, but I'll back them plus a goal.
I think if you're looking at Southampton 3-1, for instance, 12-1 it is Southampton to win 3-1. If you think that trend is going to continue.
The only problem is that when we talk about this home and away form, and there's a few teams we talk about the contrast, it's whether it kind of gets into the players' heads. That's what interests me. You know, whether a whole player's going away and already half beaten because they think, well, it doesn't matter because the home form's that good. We'll win next week when we get back home. If that starts to creep in, which it might have crept in with Burnley, then you're in trouble, aren't you?
I think he is in, Derek, for a shout of manager of the season as well, because you think back to Christmas or just after Christmas, this team were doomed. There was no possible way they were going to survive in the Premier League. And here we are. They've still got that little gap to Swansea, and there's a real opportunity they could survive.
Yeah, they could. He will be in with the shout, without question. Conte will probably get it, obviously. But, you know, I wouldn't argue if he were to get it with what he's done. Because we at the beginning of the season, we weren't just saying we were going to get relegated. We couldn't see it beyond them getting, you know, finishing higher than 20th.
Yeah.
You know, they looked that certain. And, you know, the favourites above Swansea to stay up. So that's fantastic he's done. Southampton do mind nothing. Right, the ninth. And people think, well, that's great for Southampton. But they're 18 points off seventh place. 18 points. They're only 9 points clear of the relegation zone. It just shows you that, you know, anything from 8th to 18th, they're covered by a blanket. There's nothing between them. Southampton are always priced up. Like they're a top six side as well. That's another reason they do me nothing. I'm not going for them here. I can't. You know, their home form recently has been poor. They're not that great a side. They're a tidy side, but capable of being beat by anybody. And Hull, you know what? This Burnley and Hull, there's two more sides that do me head in. My son asked me in the car the other day, I was talking about Liverpool's fixtures and all. I said, oh, yeah, but that's away from home. And he said, well, what's the difference? And I couldn't explain it. I said, no, son, that's a good question, that. There shouldn't be any difference. These are highly paid professional footballers. There should not be a difference. It's a football pitch, 11 against 11. What is the difference? There shouldn't be. Hull at 9-2 tempts me, but the professional bet, which I never have, obviously, is Hull with a goal start, like Tom's just said. I think that's a great bet. You've got to oppose Southampton here.
6-5, Hull plus one for both Derek and Tom in that Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff. Let's talk about Sunderland, because we've got to. 21-10 Sunderland to win the game against Bournemouth. The draw 21-10 as well, and Bournemouth are 7-5. It's been pretty embarrassing, hasn't it? Sunderland's performances recently, beaten by Middlesbrough, now detached at the bottom of the Premier League. And unsurprisingly, I think outsiders for this one, Derek, given that Bournemouth beat Middlesbrough 4-0 last weekend, and given that collateral form line, I know that's not how football works.
No, it should be.
It should be smooth sailing for the Cherries. However, Eddie Howe's team, Bournemouth, have only won two away Premier League games in the last 12 months. That was 3-0 against Swansea in December and 1-0 against Stoke in November. So Bournemouth on their travels aren't exactly superstars. But Sunderland, David Moyes should hang his head in shame, shouldn't he, at the performances they've put in.
Yeah. Well, he's now wearing the look of a man who's beginning to realise the highlight of his career was managing Real Sociedad. I mean, he's been... I mean, I've said this before about the managers. If we went there at Sunderland, would we have done a worse job managing them?
No.
Or mismanaging them as he has? No. The players aren't playing for him. The fans can't stand him. I'm sure his missus doesn't even like him. I mean, you mentioned Bournemouth away from home are poor, but not when they're away from home against teams beginning with S, because you just mentioned Stoke and Swansea. Good results for them. Sunderland are a joke. They are a joke. I mean, they should have been fighting for the Lions, and yet they seem to have given up the ghost long ago. You can't back them, can you? You've got to go for Bournemouth here. That result against Middlesbrough last week. But a team that, you know, Bournemouth pretty much safe, and yet they put in a performance like that against a team that were fighting for their lives. That's it. You've got to take your cap off to the manager there, I would suggest. And I'll be amazed if they don't win this one.
Not only have the Bournemouth 7-5, Derek, not only, Tom, has David Moyes not got results on the pitch, he's made some gaffes off the pitch as well. It's been pretty much... Oh, it's been a disaster for David Moyes.
Well, it has. If he could turn the clock back, he wouldn't have taken the job, would he? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, he made crucial mistakes right from the word go. I mean, you know, he hasn't put any kind of stamp on that team. Even, you know, right at the first press conference, he said, why does anyone think it's going to change? We're in a relegation battle. Now, we all know that Sunderland were always going to be in a relegation battle. He knew it. The players knew it. But you don't say it. There's some things you just don't talk about, you know, in football. And that is one of them. You know, he had to kind of change things because that club's been in such a malaise and nothing has changed. So this has just caught up with them over recent years. I mean, you can only have so many great escapes. And Gus Poyet, Paolo Di Canio, Sam Allardyce, they've all done it. Dick Advocaat as well. But, you know, it's not to be for David Moyes. He's, and the problem is now, you know, Sunderland and, you know, again, I know a few Sunderland fans and I've been at the stadium a few times. And when it turns, it really turns. That's going to be a horrible place for them to play at the weekend, because Bournemouth are the kind of team that I think could run riot. I mean, you know, the away form has been poor for Bournemouth, but Eddie Howe will be licking his lips at the prospect here, as will his players. And one thing I looked at in this game was two of the enhanced odds here, exactly the same price. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is 100-30. It's exactly the same for Joshua King to score and Bournemouth to win at 100-30. Now, Jermaine Defoe has two goals this calendar year, and they both came back at the beginning of February in a 4-0 win at Crystal Palace. Whereas Josh King has 8 goals in the last 9 Premier League matches. He's got 3 in his last 4, including against Chelsea and Liverpool, and in that victory last week against Middlesbrough. I do not understand how they can be exactly the same price. It's remarkable. The goals have dried up, but King is in form, and that is one of the achievements of the season, getting Josh King to 14 Premier League goals. So I like that a lot. But I think Bournemouth can run right here. 7-5 against an absolutely awful side that are lacking in any kind of confidence. And I wouldn't be surprised me really if Bournemouth kind of cover the -1 handicap for sure at 16-5.
Just one other point, by the way, about that David Moyes said what he said, we're going in a relegation battle. That was the most self-serving comment I've ever heard a manager say. It was like, well, I'll get my excuses in for myself earlier on, no matter what it did for the team's confidence or the fan. It was just self-serving, and he deserved the sack there and then for saying that.
And then if he keeps them up, Derek, he looks like a hero, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, exactly. It was. I mean, but what it didn't matter. He didn't care what it did for the team or the fans.
No.
It was just all about self.
West Brom versus Leicester next. West Brom 13-8, the draw 21-10. Leicester are 7-4. Enhanced odds, Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win. Was 7-2, now 4-1. They're taunting me now, these compilers. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 17-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1 as well. Tom, we've talked on this podcast for the last few weeks about teams checking out mentally. And, Derek, you've mentioned it as well. And I think West Brom were the first team to do that this season. They've not scored in 4 Premier League games and they've lost their last 3. And Leicester, albeit they've been playing with a little bit more verve recently, they haven't won since beating Sunderland back at the start of April. I suppose given they're on 37 points, they might need one or two more to be entirely safe. And that might play a part in your thinking here, Tom.
Without a doubt. I was reading a piece about Tony Pulis. I don't know why. I must have had a lot of spare time this week to read about Tony Pulis. But it was in one of the newspapers. And it was looking at West Brom, and And since they reached 40 points, right, they've had seven matches. They've won one of them, and that was against Arsenal. They've drawn one and lost five. They've only scored in one of those games as well. So scoring goals all of a sudden has been a big problem for West Brom. And that ties
They've got
in,
such a clinical striker up front as well.
Well, clearly, who hasn't scored since, what, the middle of December. I think his last goal was for his country. And, less said about him, the better. But... actually, Tony Pulis's record in the Premier League, right, after reaching 40 points, reads like this. He's won six games, he's drawn 16, and he's lost 19.
Wow.
So those stats are pretty damning for me, for a man who basically does what he's meant to do. I mean, look, his objective was to keep West Brom in the Premier League and play a little bit more attacking football. He's ticked both those boxes, and now they are coasting. And Leicester, as you say, yeah, probably need a one more win, because it's just it's a... You know, I don't know what's in the Leicester players' contracts, but I don't imagine there'll be huge survival bonuses in them after last season. But, you know, there are certain markers you want to reach, and, you know, they're winless in their last five matches. And West Brom, for me, when I look at that record, I look at the fact that they are not scoring goals. I mean, they have completely dried out. I mean, no goals in the last four matches. And bear in mind, they've played Watford in that run. It's pretty damning. I think Leicester are good things here. You know, they're focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's getting a few more, you know, league victories. And at 7-4, I like the price. I think Leicester can cause West Brom a few problems here. If not, you know, if you're a little bit more on the safe side, again, you know, plus a goal and draw, no bet. But I'm going to play Leicester here at 7-4.
Leicester have actually won three of their last four trips to the Hawthorns as well, winning the last two 3-2 as well. So if you're looking at Leicester to win this one 3-2, that's available at 33-1. And part of that enhanced odds offer is Jamie Vardy, and he's scored in both of his Premier League appearances against the Baggies at the Hawthorns. Derek, your thoughts, West Brom, Leicester?
Oh, God, Jesus.
If you've got
you
any.
You mentioned that West Brom winning only one of their last seven, which is shocking. And yet they're eight. I mean, somebody at the start of the season said, all the crap teams in this league, we're going to give them 4 points for a win. It's the only way of explaining, you know, like them in eighth and Watford in tenth. And, you know, it's inexplicable. I've got no idea about this picture, and that won't surprise you at all. I mean, Leicester probably, you know, they're the informed team of the two. But won't a draw do then? Just keep the other teams who could catch them at arm's length. I always think when there's a game at the end of the season like this, heading into May, where a draw will, you know, both sides will be happy with a draw. Not only will it be a draw, it'll be a nil-nil draw. I've had this theory for years that it takes a bit of effort to score a goal in the Premier League. You know, you have to strain a few sinews, make that run that you don't really want to do when there's nothing at stake. I'm going to go for a nil-nil draw here.
Nil-nil draw for Derek, that's available at 9-1 here with William Hill. Two more games to come. Stoke versus West Ham, first of all. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff. Stoke are 23-20. The draw, 21-10. West Ham, 13-5. Enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 7-2. And Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Derek, I suppose Mark Hughes might be starting to look over his shoulder now. It's tough to break into that top eight, as we've mentioned, but Stoke are 11th in the league, and the fans will have expected better, much better at the start of the season. The evidence I've got is only anecdotal, but speaking to a Stoke fan here in the office that we talk about, we've mentioned on the podcast a few times, Ben, and he said that the football hasn't been anywhere near attractive enough, and you can accept that when you finish 7th or 8th, but when you're down in 11th, it's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, and their flair players haven't been full of flair this season. After you look at Stoke and you think, well, you've got a few functional players there, the Shawcrosses and all that, but you've got the Shaqiris as well, and, you know, one or two others that you think, well, they'll embellish that. They'll be all right, they'll finish it, but it hasn't happened. I don't know what it is. They've been let down by some of their supposed star men, and they ain't been fun to watch this season at all. I mean, I think this fixture is guaranteed to be last on match of the day. That's if they bother to show it at all. I've just got, again, it's a nil-nil written all over it. In fact, I don't even think there'll be that many goals.
Nil-nil. 10-1 Stoke West Ham to finish nil-nil. West Ham have actually picked up 38 points from 34 Premier League games this season. It only took them 24 games last year, Tom. So I think both these sides have obviously clearly underachieved.
Yeah, massively. And, you know, neither side have had regular goal scorers. You know, one thing when we talk about that kind of middle eight, nine, ten Premier League sides, you know, the one thing they all pretty much have in common, they don't have goal scorers. You know, you go throughout the side. I know we joke about Rondon, but nobody's really sort of grasped the nettle. I mean, you look at Stoke, for example. Arnautović has 6 goals in terms of the strikers here. You know, he scored as many goals as Joe Allen this season, and he's the top scoring striker. Peter Crouch, you know, popped up with 5 when he suddenly realised he needed to get to 100 Premier League goals and get all the plaudits, which he managed to do. But you know, his signings haven't worked. Wilfred Bonny has been an absolute disaster. 2 goals he's got this season. You know, I know he's had some injury problems, hasn't he? But the point is that signing hasn't worked. Berahino has not worked. So all of a sudden you're looking at Mark Hughes and you're thinking, you know, he can't say he hasn't been back. They've had some big money transfers, and I guarantee the wage bill at Stoke has gone through the roof. But Stoke at home, you know, they are a little bit different from their away form. It's 1 point from the last 18 on the road. But at home, they tend to beat most teams in the Premier League, those teams that are outside the top 6. I look at Palace, you know, Middlesbrough and Hull City that they've beaten recently. And their 2 defeats at home recently have come against Chelsea and Liverpool, both by 2-1. There's no problem here with Stoke scoring goals. You've got to go back to, well, apart from the FA Cup tie, in the league, you've got to go back to, again, the middle of December for the last time they didn't score a goal at home, and that was a 0-0 draw against Southampton. So, you know, I think generally at home, I think they'll probably do okay. And against the West Ham side, who, you know, failed to win any of their last 5 matches, including the likes of Sunderland, Hull, Bournemouth, Watford, they're in no form. And I think Stoke will edge it, but I think you're looking at 1-0 or 2-1, nothing more flamboyant than that. So, you know, I'm going to play the Stoke victory based on the fact that at home, they normally beat teams like West Ham.
Stoke 1-0 is 7-1. Stoke 2-1 is in the betting at 15-2. And we finished the weekend at the Riverside. Middlesbrough versus Manchester City. 2:05 kick-off on Sunday. This one isn't televised. And Middlesbrough, double-figure price to win this game. 10-1 to win the match. The draw 7-2. Manchester City 1-3. Enhanced odds, Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win. Was 7-1, now 9-1, and Leroy Sané to score and Man City to win was 11-8. That's been enhanced to 6-4. Middlesbrough have got an incredible record at home against Manchester City. In their last 10, they've won 7, drawn 2, and lost just 1. And they did beat Man City back in May 2008, 8-1, which I had no memory of whatsoever.
Yeah, it was Sven. Sven was in charge that day. It was the last day of the season, and it was. I remember that game well. You always get a daft result the last game of the season, and that was it. Should have been 10-1.
Yeah, that would be Sven coming out with a pearl of wit. Like when he got heavily beat at Chelsea, I think it was 6-0 or something. And he said, "Better to lose 1 game 6-0 than 6 games 1-0." I mean, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
What do you think to this game, Tom? 1-3 City.
Well, yeah, and obviously they played each other in the FA Cup at the Riverside, you know, earlier this season, and it was a pretty routine sort of victory for Man City. Look, I think Middlesbrough, you know, I listen to Steve Agnew, who's incredibly well respected within the game, and you know, he's got a lot of friends within the game, and you know, there's no doubt he wants the best for the club, but he's not been that inspiring, has he? I've got to say, like, you know, I see his interviews, and he's. His eyes are kind of glazed over a little bit. I think he's made certain mistakes. You know, he tried to let them off the leash, and they got battered at Hull. And then he's tried to make it tight. And actually, he was getting a fair bit of stick from the fans, even, you know, with their victory over Sunderland, because at 1-0, they were basically time wasting and defending and getting bodies behind the ball. And the fans, I think the fans accept that they're going down. They're not stupid, you know, Middlesbrough supporters. You know, they know that their team are going down, but I think they just want to see a little bit more from the team. You know, when you pay your money, and if your team aren't going to win games or you're going to have an unsuccessful season, at least let's have some entertainment and let's have some goals to cheer. And Middlesbrough aren't capable of that. This is, you know, typical game for sort of Manchester City, where you can see them doing probably exactly what they did in the FA Cup match. By no means are Man City in top gear, so I wouldn't be looking at this and thinking, well, yeah, they're gonna cruise to sort of 3-4, 4-0 victories they maybe would have in previous seasons. I think this will be a little bit tighter, but Manchester City ultimately have got to get the result. I mean, they're a big price, Middlesbrough at 10-1, given the fact that, you know, people at this stage of the season, you think of like the Great Escape. I mean, they're not going to have a Great Escape, Middlesbrough, but you think of the big prices that I know friends of mine capitalised on when Wigan went on their run. You know, just taking teams that are desperate, last chance saloon, throw of the dice, you know, and you're getting 10-1 or something like that against the City side. They're not playing well, as I say, and they're too short to me, you know, for me to be backing on the outright. So I'd either back them to win 2-0 or minus a goal at 13-20. But I'm not particularly enthused by this match in any way.
Derek?
Well, I think the Borough fans who were all those Borough fans who were baying for Aitor Karanka's head may now be regretting their actions almost as much as they regret supporting Borough, because the new manager has come in and he looks like an extra from outfield, the same pest. He's just, you know, steamrolled into the manager job. Just doesn't look like a manager, doesn't sound like a manager. Middlesbrough don't look like a football team. They're going down. And, you know, I feel like kicking myself for giving them a message of support earlier in the season. I thought because I knew that they couldn't score goals, but they kept things tight, and I thought that will ultimately keep them up. But they've been useless ever since I said that. And I'm looking at their squad. You know, I'm just looking at the first goal scorer market, you know, on the Middlesbrough here. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, it's no wonder they never score. They've got nobody there. Have they? They have not got a Premier League player. I know Stuart Downing's been around the block, but he's been flogged wherever he's gone. And they're just not good enough, basically. And then you look at the City squad. And I can't see how this is not going to be 12-0 for City. So I'm going to play safe and go City with a two-goal start at 7-4. City to cover, to win by three or more at 7-4.
City minus two on the handicap, 7-4 is Derek's pick. That just brings us to the Naps then, chaps. I think, Derek, you had first goal last week, so I'll give Tom first bite here.
Well, I'm going to just pile on the misery onto Sunderland. I'm going to play Bournemouth, and I'm going to play Bournemouth minus a goal at 16-5 at Sunderland.
Bournemouth minus one is Tom's pick. Derek, I'm looking at this. I'm finding it difficult.
God, it is. It is. I'm going to... Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to go for a draw. I never do that, but I'm going to go for a draw in the Stoke-West Ham game.
A Stoke-West Ham to draw, that's 21-10. What do I go for here? I'm looking round. I'm struggling desperately. I'll go with Everton Chelsea draw, I think. It could be a scoring draw, but I'll just take the draw at 12-5, and I think Chelsea will be happy with that. So the bet is Bournemouth minus one, 16-5. That's Tom's pick. Draw Stoke versus West Ham, 21-10 for Derek, and draw Everton versus Chelsea at 12-5 for me. 43.26-1. That treble this weekend. Tom, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Do check it out on iTunes. Again, type in William Hill to subscribe. You can also subscribe at audioboom.com. Again, type in William Hill. That's where all our on-demand audio lives. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.